examples, look in the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs in a lot of this message this morning. This is my last message on this series called Living in Stability, which also could be broken down and called Living in Stability. Because the Bible says before Jesus Christ comes, there shall be what's called a great falling away take place, even in the body of Christ, because the days of the earth become darkened, evil increases around us. Many folks whose roots and houses are not built upon a firm rock foundation are going to find when the storms of life come, their houses will be shaken because they're on sinking sand. This series here has had a goal to help get our roots down deeper. So no matter what circumstance we face in life, our knee-jerk reaction is always that this is the day the Lord has made regardless. And I will rejoice and be glad in this day, no matter what this day holds for me. Because I know the next day is coming, and God also is victorious, and God has the last say in our lives. Amen. I'm going to talk this morning here on a thing called dealing with stress. Dealing with stress. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. How many folks today feel stressed out or stressed in some way? Because the fact is we're living in a very, very stressed-filled society all around us. The Bible even says in this world, you will have tribulation. The word tribulation is a Greek word that actually means pressure. In this fallen world, you will have pressure, stress. But it goes on and says, I love that but there. It says, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. That means if God's in control of our lives, stress and pressure around us will not overwhelm us and not take us out. But the key there again is having God as Lord of our lives, in the center of our lives. In this series, I talked about three different messages there. One was called God is Faithful. And praise God, again, that's the thing there to hang our hat on, knowing that God is always faithful, no matter what we even do ourselves. To be unfaithful, God still proves himself to be faithful for us because we serve a faithful God. I also spoke on about humility, how humility brings to us stability. Those that are humble, they shall find themselves being exalted by God. Those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, it says he will raise you up, build you up. And God knows he won't build anybody up that's going to actually stumble or fall when they get built up. Because the higher a structure goes, the more deep the foundation must be for that structure. So humility brings foundation. It brings structure. Last week was also about how God does not change. God changes not. There's no shadow of turning in him. And praise God, God has no bad moods. God has no whims. God doesn't get bored with us or bored with the creation. God is a steady, steady God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God is perfect. And praise God that God is like that. Amen. Proverbs now 17, verse 24. Write some things down in your bulletins. There's places there to actually write notes out. If you do that, take some things home. It says, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding. But the eyes of a fool, when you see the word fool in the book of Proverbs, it doesn't mean an ignorant, stupid person. It means somebody controlled by their flesh. So it says a fool, someone controlled by their flesh, are on the ends of the earth. The Good News Translation says this about this same verse. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Stress comes from people who have too many irons in too many fires, and they're trying to do too many things in too short of amount of time. And the Bible says in Proverbs, that's someone controlled by their flesh who does things like that. Perhaps the most stressed out person I've seen in the past 20 years of my life was a pastor from Rockwall, Texas, a suburb of Dallas, whose name is Brad Howard. Brad Howard wouldn't mind this story being told about him because it's all true. He knows this. But he was in his probably early 30s, pastoring a church of 1,000 people, an Assemblies of God church, which he still pastors today. The church is thriving, doing very well. He was at one time, he was a youth pastor for Christ for the Nations. And this guy's got a tremendous anointing on his life in a pastoral realm. But for some reason, Brad Howard, I found out later on beyond a trip to Uganda that he went with me on, I found out every time he goes on a trip in a place outside of Dallas with a youth group or a church group or missions or whatever else, some disaster, he says, always breaks out. Well, here we are in Uganda, Africa, in the far reaches there by where the mountain gorillas are at a place called Fort Portal, right there by the eastern or western border of that nation. And in that conference, we actually wrote on a very, very kind of a jagged washboard road for about 8 hours, driving from, I think it was from Kampala to the place called Fort Portal in a SUV. Our insides got jarred to the very core. And so the first day into the conference, Dale Witt, our leader, who, of course, you all seen him, they've been here for a long time, he passed away a couple of years back of a heart attack. But this is, again, about 15 years ago when Dale was in a more healthy mode. He began to have severe nausea the first day of the conference. He had to finally lay down in his room. Nausea and pain got worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, he goes to the jungle mountain-type doctor out there in the bush in this Fort Portal area. And the guy says, you've got acute appendicitis, and you need to have operation done right away before your appendix actually burst. In this rustic place, where there's just open air, open windows, there's AIDS patients all around him, there's blood on the floor. I mean, it's a very, very rustic, scary condition. This guy, they open him up. The surgeon's an alcoholic doctor. Fortunately, he was sober when they actually did surgery on him. And he said, there's actually gangrene in your body. If this appendix actually had ruptured, it would have killed you. You probably would have died almost instantly. So by the grace of God, it was all cleaned up. They had successful surgery. Ladies were there, Christian ladies, pastors' wives, held his hand, took care of him the whole time he was there. And they said, now, we're going to close you up. We're going to sew you up, but you must get back to Nairobi, Kenya, by small airplane to do a better job of cleaning you out, getting you sewn up properly in a proper hospital in that city. His pastor at that time was Brad Howard on the trip. Brad Howard is totally terrified of small airplanes. But he felt as an obligation as a pastor, you must get on this small Cessna airplane with this bush pilot from Zimbabwe who landed in a cow pasture and take off from the cow pasture, try to clear the mountains over there, and find yourself climbing quick enough not to crash into the mountains and go to a place called Nairobi, Kenya. Brad Howard was stressed out. This guy, everywhere he's gone, disaster has always broken out, and he hates small airplanes. We tried to say goodbye to him. He was white as a sheet. He's a white guy anyway. This guy was beyond white. I mean, he was like snow. He would not even say goodbye to us. He wouldn't say one word. He was just totally petrified, totally terrified. And by the grace of God, that airplane did take off. Bump, bump, bump. Went over the mountains okay. Helped Dale Witt out in Nairobi, then back in Dallas once again. But Brad Howard told us in no uncertain terms, I will never go on a foreign missions trip again the rest of my life. Stress can cause us to make some decisions that maybe there's some things in life we should kind of just leave alone and not be doing in our lives, because it seems like God's grace may not be there on us for that thing. Amen? So stress, the Bible says in Proverbs, again, comes on people who try to do too many things and not always doing the thing God wants them to do in their lives. There's a lot of us who also, again, realize that God's saying, it's time to see what is the focus I've got for you in your life and keep that focus the main thing for your life. Please write down, again, some take-home points this morning here. I'm going to give you a list of some things. Some of the results takes place in us when stress happens in our lives and stress controls our life like it does in so many American people and so many westernized people also all over the world. The first thing stress does, number one, is it causes our resistance to get lowered. You're going to find that you're going to always be at your worst behavior, the most prone to sin, the most prone to sickness and disease when you're full of stress in your lives. Medical doctors say that many sicknesses, many illnesses are actually the direct result of people that are overstressed in their lives. That's why the Bible says laughter is working like a medicine to bring forth to you strength and grace, and people need things that actually relieve stress, not increases stress in their lives, that they might live long lives on the earth. Amen? The Bible says in 3 John, I want you to prosper and be blessed, even as your soul does prosper. And a soul full of anguish and full of trepidation and full of pressure and stress is not a soul blessed or a soul for longevity upon the face of the earth. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus Christ speaks about the end times to his disciples, the mark of the end times as well in these verses. And he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts, your soul, be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness. Then it goes on beyond that, and the cares, stresses of this life. And that day, the last day, come on you unexpectedly. How many folks realize that when the cares of life, the stress of life takes over our lives, it will tempt us to do a thing that's called self-medicate. And we'll find ourselves desiring sometimes alcohol or drugs or illicit things to be doing to try to relieve that stress off of our lives. Even pornography, even affairs, even lustful things like that are sometimes releases for us that are actually involved in stress so heavily. It brings relief to people for a short season, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but in the end it will somehow wreak death in our lives, somehow, some way. God's got a better plan for us to relieve stress than carousing and getting drunk and using illicit drugs or things of that nature. God's got a better plan. We'll get to talk about that more later on. Number two, second thing stress also does, it causes our emotions to become inconsistent. Maybe you're asking yourself this morning, why am I getting angry so quick and so often? I didn't used to be like this, but I find myself flying off the handle, chewing out my spouse, kicking the dog, getting mad at my neighbors, wanting to kill folks in traffic. That's just kind of normal, really. All those things, if they're increasing in your life, it's probably because there's some kind of an uncontrolled stress happening in your soul underneath the level. There's boiling lava just waiting to blow out on the first person who does something to get at you somehow in your life. God says, if at all possible with you, be at peace with all men all the time. How's that happen? You've got to have peace first under here, in here, before peace can come out of your mouth. Amen? Because out of the abundance of your heart, the Bible says, your mouth is going to speak. So if your heart's full of anguish and stress and pressure, your mouth's going to be spewing out the results of pressure, stress, which is anger and rash words and bad moods and bad attitudes and smart aleck comments. And those things are not what God wants to dominate your life. Amen? It's a symptom of a hurried person. Job chapter 9, verse 25, is also a book of wisdom, is Job. It says, now my days are swifter and faster than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. One version says, they fly away without me seeing any joy. God is saying the stressful people won't realize the joy of the Lord in their lives. The Bible says the anointing comes from the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that word strength means anointing. So actually, stress robs you of anointing. It robs you of God's power. It robs you of God's presence. It robs you of God using you the way God wants to use you. Stress is an enemy. It is not a friend. But God in Christ is a friend, was it closer than a brother, and he'll be with us to relieve stress. Amen? Number three, third thing stress does is this. Our productivity also begins to suffer because of stress. We'll find ourselves getting less done by actually doing more. You know, back in the Old Testament, the Egyptians were told by Pharaoh, you guys are all lazy. That's why you're trying to leave here and sacrifice to your God out there in the wilderness someplace. Well, because you're lazy, I'm getting stressed out by this Moses coming to me trying to say, let my people go, and putting plagues on my nation. Because Pharaoh was all stressed out, he felt he was going to project some of that stress out on the people of God. He said, tell those lazy Hebrews, I want the same quota of bricks, but they can go out there and get their own straw. Get the straw themselves, make the bricks themselves, but the same quota every single day. What stress does is stress causes you to actually produce less by doing more. It's called the principle of the dull axe head. How many folks realize in chopping wood, the sharper the axe head is, the easier it is to chop the wood and split the wood with less strokes and less blows and less energy. The more we use that axe head, the more dull and blunt it becomes, and the harder it is to cut the same amount of wood in the same amount of time. What God is saying to us as Christians is your axe head sharpened? Are you on the cutting edge? is the peace of God that passes all understanding ruling and reigning in your life? Or do you find yourself doing more and more and more and getting less and less and less results actually from that? Because it's not by might, it's not by power. The Bible says by my spirit that all things that are lasting takes place upon the earth. Amen. Before you youth that are here today, before our youth and our middle school folks today go to college, I want to ask you to do one important thing in your schoolwork, and that is choose now. I will not be a person who crams for exams all night long before the exam takes place, but I will in a methodical, systematic way be studying and learning things on a day-by-day basis. So when that test comes, I'll simply be showing off to my teachers what I've learned throughout the semester that I've gone through in life. I found that it's very good to go ahead and just do things in a systematic, methodical way to learn things, glean things, memorize things, so when the tests of life finally come, we're actually ready for them, not trying to cram everything in an overnight cram session that brings tremendous stress into our lives. In my college days at Wichita State University, that's what most of our fellow students would do on midterm exams and final exams. They do all-nighters. They come in there, eyes red, full of coffee, full of all kinds of caffeine, trying to stay awake and pass those exams. God wants to say, on a consistent basis, learn to peacefully, methodically do things in life that is balanced and brings no stress to you, and store those things up for test days, says the Lord. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 goes on. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everybody who is hasty surely will actually lead you to poverty. So God wants diligence, not haste, in your lives. Amen. Proverbs 19, verse 2 also says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. And I found myself, I got to sometimes just kind of slow down when I'm doing works in life every day. I got sometimes many things to do in one day. I heard the Holy Spirit saying, it's time to slow down. It's time to take notice, because you're going to make some big mistakes if you do things too fast and too quick. That's why, again, this trip right now for Africa today, I began doing things 7 days ago, preparing for the transition from here to a foreign country, which I've done time and time and time again. And Cheryl is even beyond I am. Cheryl was packing her bags 3 weeks ago. I mean, 2 weeks back, she was putting things, the suitcase at the foot of our bed opened up, and she's putting things in there. I say, honey, is this a little bit early in it right now to be packing for Africa? I mean, we've got about 2 more weeks to go here. And she goes, this is the way I do things, okay? She does not cram down and do things the last minute. She does things little by little by little, and she was ready to go when that day finally took place about 5 days ago. Amen? But God is saying to us, plan things out. Don't be hasty. Don't do crams, but do things on a methodical, diligent basis, and you'll find prosperity comes to your life. Number four, the fourth thing that takes place by stressed-out people is our lives feel like they're losing actually meaning, losing meaning in life. You're going to find yourself getting further away from your purpose when stress rules over your life, because you're not sensing God's presence as much. Your mind is so cluttered, full of things to get done, things you should have done, things that are falling through the gaps and cracks in your life, is you can't focus on hearing the Holy Spirit's voice on what to be doing on a day-by-day basis. I want to remind you guys again that God, when God is first in your life, He'll give you enough minutes in every day to get exactly done that day that He wants you to get done. Amen? Psalms chapter 39, verse 6 says this. First part. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves only in vain. And God is saying, let's avoid this verse in our lives. Let's don't just be busy people. Let's be busy about doing the Father's business. And Jesus Christ Himself would spend a whole lot of downtime just talking to the disciples, just chilling out around a meal, just taking and praying to God, worshiping God, being silent before God. He had a very, very balanced life to accomplish a whole lot, but not by being a workaholic in his life, where he found himself stressed out at all in his life. Number five thing that the stress does, fifth thing is our relationship with God also begins to suffer. It'll seem like God is distant. It'll seem like God is not near us like He was in times past. When stress comes in, the peace of God goes out. They can't be contained in the same body, the same mind at the same time. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. One of God's kingdom ingredients is peace, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. When God spoke to Elijah the prophet, who just was out facing death, he thought, by Jezebel. We all know the story that says that God shows up, and it seems like God's mad and God's angry because he causes the mountains to explode with lightning and thunder and wind and an earthquake. And all the noise and all the turmoil explodes all around Elijah the prophet. The Bible says, but God was not in the earthquake or the wind or the thunders and all the noise and turmoil around him. Then it says, all things calmed down, and God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. What God was doing there in the Old Testament in that picture was this. He was showing Elijah where his soul was at. He said, Elijah, your mind, your soul is full of earthquakes and wind and explosions and noise and turmoil. I want to show you your soul, but you can't hear me in this. Because you think right now, Elijah, that Jezebel is going to kill you and cut your head off. But I'm still your God. I'm still your Lord. I can still protect you, says the Lord your God. So he causes all those things to calm down, and a still, small voice comes out of this quietness and tells Elijah exactly what to do on the other side of turmoil and stress and pressure in his life. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, these words are spoken here. It says, better to have only a handful where there's quietness than to have both hands totally filled up together with toil and also grasping for the wind. God is saying it's better to have a little bit in your house in one hand and have peace and quiet than have your whole house full of the best furniture and the best retirement plan and the best car and the best home and have yourself full of busyness, turmoil, and stress in your lives. In the house of feasting, the Bible says sometimes there's strife, sometimes there's turmoil. I think in marriages, I think among children also going through bad times with parents sometimes. I think many times stress is an actual strong man in those houses that God wants to deal with and be the Prince of Peace in those homes. You guys have seen yourselves in your own homes when your parents were stressed out by bills and by time schedules and by whatever else, vacations and whatever else around them. They took it out on the kids most of the time with bad moods, bad words, fights break out. The worst comes out of people that are filled with stress. The problem with this message is this. We probably all already know what I've said so far in this message. The question is now, what do we practically do about it to see stress relieved out of our lives? I'm glad you asked. Our ushers right now have got whole boxes full of Valium. They're going to pass those out to the congregation. Ushers, come to the front. No. I'm just kidding. That's what Dr. Whatever would tell you. But Dr. Jesus has a better plan than Valium, antidepressants, vodka, and marijuana. Amen? God's got a better plan than all of that. Amen. So let's see what God's word says and what God says about antidotes to pressure and stresses in our lives. The word truth, write this definition down about truth. Truth is this. The distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. I'm going to say it again. Distance between the truth I know and the truth I live is actually what actually equals the experience of pain in my life, or the pain I experience equals that distance. There's truth we know, but what truth do we actually live? Many Christians know the truth about stress, how to relieve stress, what God says about stress. We know that in our brains, but God says you must now put things in practice and live out the truth you know, so that pain line might be shorter and shorter and shorter in your lives. Amen? God wants to narrow that gap between the two. What's the truth that we need to apply to the realm of stress in our lives? Less hurry, less scurry, more focus. What's going to help us do this? The good news is God has answers for us in the Bible, principles in God's Word to deal with stress in ways that will work. Because guess what? God made us. God's our Creator. God knows what's best for us. God has the right prescription for your life today if you'll just do what God says. So let's get three more points here before I close this service. Number one is this. To relieve stress, number one, we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Isn't that legalistic? Isn't that Old Testament? Isn't that bondage religion? Well, let me explain some things about this. This is God's plan for burnouts among people on the face of the earth. You got to realize that I have shopped in two places this week. I ate at a place called Chick-fil-A, I think on Wednesday. I shopped at Hobby Lobby for my sister-in-law, Linda, who wants some oil paints, yesterday. Both those places were totally packed out with customers, making money across our nation hand over fist. Yet both places are closed on Sundays. Their owners and founders are both born-again believers in Jesus Christ. They were both told by their friends, "You are totally crazy to not be open on Sundays. It will totally do you in." They are about the most prosperous businesses that exist today in America because they're doing things not their way, they're doing things God's way. They had values many, many years ago. They stuck to their values, and God is blessing them for that upon the earth. Have you ever gone to a Chick-fil-A and not seen a line of cars 10 deep? Have you ever gone to a Hobby Lobby and not seen the places that registers packed out with folks? They're sometimes 5, 6 deep all the time. God honors His Word. God honors His principles. And God made man, made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. Amen? Let's read what the Bible says about this also. Notice it says here in the Bible, it says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Not just hour or 6 hour. It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. So, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, New Testament here says this. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his own works. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anybody fall according to the same example of disobedience in their lives. Now, to keep something holy, like the Sabbath day, the word holy means set apart unto the Lord. That means the Sabbath day is a day that's set apart not to just do what your normal work is, but do something totally different than your work. Because God, the Creator, took time to rest Himself and say, I'm going to now enjoy my creation. I'm going to do things I see brings pleasure to me. I made this thing. I worked this thing. I developed this thing here. Now I want to sit back for one day and just enjoy what I've made upon the earth. The Bible even says it's actually a curse to man to never get to sit back and reflect and enjoy the work of his hands upon the earth. God wants you to enjoy your life and enjoy it to the fullest. Amen? We need to set a day apart to do something totally different than what we actually work at doing in life to make money. It's time to shut down the bee and put on the cow. Amen? God told the Israelites, you're going to go into a place of milk and honey. What makes milk? Cows. What makes honey? Bees. God is saying sometimes shut the bee down and bring on the cow in Jesus' name. Amen? It's time to go ahead and chill out, put on that cow suit, and say it's time to kind of just chew my cud, lay back for a season, recharge my batteries, let that bee come on tomorrow and buzz about busily. But in this day, it's the day for God's rest in my life, in my heart. When people apply this principle of the first things, they're going to find that God makes something supernatural take place that brings forth divine blessings in your life that only God can bring. That's why the first day of the month, first Sunday, we have communion service. We honor God by drinking the cup and eating the bread and saying, thank you, dear God, for Jesus Christ. You gave his body and blood for us the first Sunday of every month. Also, the first of our income is to be set apart, God says, for the tithe is holy unto God, belongs to the Lord. We put that first 10% to God, give Him that, then God will bless the 90% that it goes even further than the 100% would have gone had we kept the whole amount to ourselves. Amen. God also says, take the first day of the week, which is called to us, most of us, a Sunday. Let that day be set apart also unto the Lord. For most of us, the first day should look something like this. Be at church like this on Sunday morning. Amen. You guys are here. Congratulations. That's the first part of a day of rest and Sabbath for your life. I pray to God when you leave this place today, you'll be full of strength, energy, and glad you came here. And God did something good in your life to bring forth energy, strength, and refreshing to you. Only God can bring forth. When service is over, it's probably time to get some good food you like. Find some fried chicken. Find some fried shrimp. Go to Rudy's, get some nice barbecue, get yourself some breakfast tacos, whatever you like to do, get some kind of a good food you like to eat there and just chop right on down there in a balanced way, knowing that God wants us to enjoy the things He made on the face of the earth. Amen? God would not have made catfish and shrimp if He don't want a man to eat them. God made watermelon, God made cantaloupe, God made peas and carrots and corn because God wants man to enjoy them and to eat them. Amen? When God made those things, God said, it is good. And God also made cocoa plants for chocolate. And God said, it is good. But He also goes on and says, do all things in moderation, saith the Lord. Okay? So find something good to eat this day on Sunday. Then beyond that, it might be time to go home and take a nap. Hallelujah. Some of us just need to lay down on Sundays sometimes in afternoons there and take a nap. Believe God for the money to take and buy a recorder to record the Cowboys games. You must always watch those. That's very refreshing. And that'll charge your batteries like nothing else will do. But I'm saying record those games. You have to take that nap and do something that's going to be stress-releasing for you upon this day called the Sabbath in your life. Beyond that, ride your bicycle. Take a walk in a park. Go play tennis someplace, go play basketball, play racquetball. Do something on this day with your family, your friends, those who energize you somehow, that God may bring refreshing into your life, but avoid the thing you do to work for to make money with a plague on the Sabbath. Amen? Be like Chick-fil-A, be like Hobby Lobby, be blessed of the Lord as you honor the Sabbath in Jesus' name. We're made to do that, okay? Not legalistic, not religious. God made you, wired you to do that for your own good. The good shepherd in me wants to see all you guys eat from green pastures and go beside still waters in your life. Part of that's the Sabbath in your life. Number two, second thing is this. We also need to take and replenish our souls. Replenish our soul. How do we do that? If we have emotions that are out of whack, out of control, that's a warning sign to us. We need to be doing something to recharge our batteries and restore the soul, the mind in our lives. So here's some things to write down how to restore your soul. Number one, write down these two words. Do it with quietness, quietness. We need to get rid of all the noise at the first part of the day, if possible. Every day, I get out of bed about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I go downstairs, eat my breakfast, read my paper. I spend time reading the Bible, praying to God, getting quiet before the Lord the first part of every day. Then I end my day. Before Cheryl goes to bed, I go to bed, and I'm also in there being quiet even many times with God. It's quiet. Think about the day's activities, the day's whatever else took place there, trying to quiet myself down at the last part of the day. I encourage you guys, find a place of quiet like Jesus Christ Himself also did. The first part of your day, the last part of your day, that God may restore your soul as He can do. Number two, also with enjoyment. Ask yourself, what food do I enjoy? What activities do I enjoy? What books do I enjoy? What people do I enjoy? What surroundings do I enjoy in my life? You know, sometimes restaurants, their ambiance ministers peace and just a soul replenishing to your life. That's why I tell Cheryl sometimes, let's go to that place there. That place has got good ambiance. Sometimes it just smells good, just looks good to be in a place that refreshes your soul somehow, to have a change of pace and a change of view in your lives. The next thing, if you're married or in a family, try to talk about things that bring joy in your life. Don't use your Sabbath day of rest to talk about the bills and talk about your mother-in-law. Talk about that grouchy friend you've got. Talk about things that stress you out in your life. Purpose on the Sabbath day. I'm going to use this day to say things that bring joy and laughter and good feelings and good memories back into my spouse's and family's life in Jesus' name. Amen? Can you do that? Think about that. Write that down. Go see a movie you both like. Cheryl knows on my day off, which our day off is on Mondays. You go see movies once in a while on Mondays. I don't want to see a movie with a person dying of leukemia and bawling my eyes out, and they die at the end, and everybody's crying and bawling as they leave the movie. That does not refresh my batteries one little bit. Amen. I don't mind seeing somebody get beat up, perhaps as a bad guy, but the bad guy loses, the good guy wins. I don't mind seeing something there of a science fiction movie there that's all fiction, fantasy in a clean way. I don't mind seeing westerns. I like the old westerns there where the bad guy always loses, good guys always win. There's no cussing, no blood. They get shot in the old days. There's no blood. Praise God for that. And so I'm just saying, watch something that recharges your batteries, doesn't tear you down in your life. I pray it's not some demonic movie where your head spins around five times, green pudding comes out the mouth, eyes are bleeding, worms are everywhere, and guys are eating flesh. That's not refresh my batteries one little bit, okay? I hope not for you as well. Do you realize reliable surveys show that over 60% of Americans today are under stress, they say. Over 60%. It's true in the church. It's true in the world. The Prince of Peace wants to give us peace that only He can bring. The last thing I want to say today is Hebrews 10:25 tells us, when you come together in the name of Jesus Christ, you're there to encourage one another. Number three says we need to refocus on God. Refocus on God. Now, James, come back to the platform. Help me out here at the end of the service, please, James. David wrote a song to God by the Holy Spirit's power. And it says in your Bible in Psalm 92, for the Sabbath day, written by David the psalmist under God's inspiration. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2 says these words, and also verse 10, verse 12, and verse 14. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness, notice this, in the morning, and your faithfulness every night. He began his days in quietness, saying to God again, you are faithful. Whatever I face this day is big enough for you to handle. When his day is over and bad or good things took place, he lays down and says, every night I remind myself that you were faithful. Every morning I remind myself that you are full of loving kindness toward me, says the Lord. And it goes on and says this, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. What's that mean? Well, the horn in the Old Testament means the symbol of your power, your anointing, the way to bring increase in your life by your business, by your giftings, by your callings. God will anoint your horn, your giftings, your produce, your job, your business. He'll exalt that when he's put first in your life. Then it goes on and says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Palm trees bend and sway. They can face hurricane winds, and they still just snap right back in place in a few days. They're the most resilient plants on the face of the earth. They grow 90 feet or taller on islands, but no hurricane, no wind, no storm can take them out because they learn to bend and not break. Then he goes on and says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing, though they age upon the earth. Stress will actually add years to your life. It'll make you get old prematurely. I've seen folks that are in their 90s that are younger than folks in their 40s because there's no stress in their lives. There's only peace. There's only joy. There's only God's presence in them. And God makes them flourish like a palm tree in the house of the Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our head for a moment now today in prayer.